Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show, where we help you win at the game of business and marketing. My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored by your wise decision to tune in today and invest in yourself. As the name says, our listeners are business creators. We have entrepreneurs, we have small business owners, we have local business owners, we have marketing and business coaches, we have the folks who help others build their businesses, and then on the other side of that coin, we have the do-it-yourselfers who love to have your own hands on the marketing levers as you grow your business. If you are one or more of the above, please take a moment, explore episodes, and discover how we help you win at the game of business and marketing at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. Also, check us out on iTunes. Be sure to subscribe. Every 5-star rating is greatly appreciated. Helps us serve more business creators just like you. And fresh content will be delivered to your iTunes every single week. Today, I'm very excited because we have a topic that so many of you have demanded, that we have been looking for the right person to come onto the Business Creators Radio Show and share with you. Amazon is hot. Amazon's been hot for years. And one of the topics that we're seeing that's really trending right now in the industry is how to sell physical products on Amazon. I see this a lot in the Facebook groups. I see this a lot in the LinkedIn groups. People have been coming to me at the Business Creators Institute asking me if I have any training available on how to sell physical products on Amazon, and very simply. So I'm very happy to tell you that it can be done in 5 steps. And I'm even happier to tell you that we have just the man to show you how to do it. So I am about to introduce to you Scott Volker of TheAmazingSeller.com. Let me just tell you a little bit about Scott. He is the founder and the host of The Amazing Seller Podcast, a great podcast. You should tune in yourself. It's a top-ranked business show where he helps everyday, regular people start selling products that make money on Amazon.com. He's generated over $300,000 in his first 12 months of starting his own Amazon business, and he has now taught and inspired thousands of new entrepreneurs through his take action approach. And just in the green room here, I can tell Scott's kind of chopping at the bit here. He's very much a take action, let's get it done type himself. So we're going to honor that and welcome Scott on board. Scott, welcome to Business Creators Radio Show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I am a take action guy. You're all right? I'm chomping at the bit here. Yeah, I just want to dive into this stuff. I love it. So yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And I'm excited to share some of my knowledge here.
You bet. And we're going to do that in just a second. But there's 2 questions I like to ask our guests before we dive in. And the first one is, I just read off your official bio there. I invited people to listen to your podcast, which is a great podcast, by the way. I've checked out a couple episodes.
Thank you.
But just tell us a little bit more about the intersection of your brilliance and passion and some of the experiences that have led you to where you are today, working with business creators to help them sell on Amazon.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I'd rather go back a little bit further because I think it all starts from, I mean, and I think anyone that is looking to get started in any business just needs to understand that there's no quick and easy way of doing anything. Everything's going to take work. Everything's going to take hustle. And, you know, going back to when I was a young kid, you know, learning about business by being in my father's construction business and seeing the ins and the outs of business and what it really takes. And, you know, I guess the intersection in anything that I've ever done has always been just a lot of trial and error, learning from experience, from failures, from successes, and then just taking those and bringing them into another business model or whatever other business or even life experience that you're dealing with. So I guess my biggest thing is experience and by doing, not just by consuming. So I hope that helps.
I think that helps a lot, and I think that's going to be sort of a preview for what our listeners are in for here today. Is this is going to be very much an action-oriented approach. So if you're listening live, remember, this is going to be replayed on iTunes. Make sure to subscribe. If you're listening through iTunes, listen to this, and then listen to it again. One more question before we dive in here, and normally I do the drum roll, but I'm kind of sitting on the couch here right now hanging out with my cats, so I don't have a table in front of me. But everybody just imagine a drum roll. Here in the Business Creators Radio Show, we provide the tools, techniques, and strategies to help entrepreneurs quickly grow their businesses. A lot of our listeners tell me they have everything they need to implement anything that anybody says they need to do, except for time and money. Now, on the Business Creators Radio Show, I love to ask this question of everybody who appears, because what I like is not only the variety of different answers, but also the variety of different ways the question is interpreted. So, Scott Volker, how do time and money impact what you're going to share with us today?
Well, time is everything, right? I mean, we only have a very limited amount of time, but we also all have the same amount of time. So, to me, being able to figure out a way to create time to invest in what you want to invest in to better your life is what I'm all about. To me, it's all about creating a freedom lifestyle business. It's not necessarily about the money. It's about the money that can provide the freedom. That really, to me, is everything in my life, and everything I do is structured around that. Just a little example of that. Right now, we're recording this. As soon as we get done with this, I'm going to be heading out of here going to my son's baseball game at 1:30 in the afternoon because I choose to do that and I can do that. So that to me is everything, and I just think that the whole time thing is what everyone is kind of going for, right? It's like the freedom thing, and the money is what can allow us to have that.
Right, and for all of our listeners, I am so honored. Scott's a very busy man, and he's managed to make some time for us here today, and I definitely want to honor Scott getting to his baseball game. So I may have some extended closing thoughts at the very end, just in case Scott can't stay the entire hour. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to sort of really dive into Scott here, because he has a lot to share with us. And the first thing that I want to ask is, let's kind of roll back to the beginning of your experience and what got you started selling on Amazon.
Yeah, no, that's great. First off, I just need to let everyone know that doesn't know me, I'm a regular guy. I'm a 43-year-old guy. I'm a family guy. I've got 3 kids, all that stuff. So to me, I've got no special education, not a college degree, none of that stuff. So for me to enter in the business world going way back, I was working with my father's construction company and then, transitioned out of that into a photography business with my wife, which we knew nothing about, but we built into a 6-figure business. And then from there, learning about online selling, and I've been doing that now for over 9 years. The Amazon thing was just another stream of revenue that I was looking at, another opportunity that I thought that I could create, set up, and then I don't want to say automate, but in a sense have other people do a lot of the heavy lifting, because Amazon does a lot of that heavy lifting. It's the closest thing to a digital product that you will find on the internet, in my belief, because to Amazon, you use their Fulfilled by Amazon services. Basically, once you receive an order, they fulfill it for you. They handle the refunds. They handle the customer service to a certain extent. So to me, it was an opportunity that I wanted to try to take advantage of and experiment with. It was not, I should just put this right out there, I was not doing it for my sole income, and I still am not doing it for my sole income. Although, after it proved, after just 90 days of making the decision to start selling and having a product launched, making $40,000 in revenue, it really did prove to me that I probably should pay a little bit more attention to this. And that's since what I've done and since I've started helping people. So to me personally, the idea came from hearing about other people starting to sell on Amazon. And I heard about people selling what they call as retail arbitrage. And for people that don't know what that is it's basically where you go into Target, Walmart, Lowe's, any big box store or any store for that matter, and you find things that are name brand, but they're closing them out, maybe 80% discount, 70% discount, whatever. And then you relist them on Amazon, you sell them at full price. You take the profit and you reinvest, right? Or you take it and put it in your pocket, whatever you want to do. The problem with that, and that I found with that, the reason why I didn't want to go down that path, is because once you find 10 items and you sell through those 10 items, you got to go find 10 more items of either the same thing, which is going to be hard, or you need to go ahead and find another product that you could sell, right? So that right there wasn't really, really cool to me. I just said, it doesn't sound that good. It seems like a lot of work.
Right.
And again, kind of rewinding a little bit, I wasn't doing this necessarily for my primary income. I was putting another spoke, in my rim, of my bike spoke, my bike rim. So what I was really doing here is just adding more cogs to it. And once I did it, then it started opening my eyes that holy mackerel, this thing is really, really something I should pay attention to. So that's where I got my start, and from here we can kind of dig into we can dig into kind of like what I did from starting to getting my first product, what I've learned in the process.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that comes out of that for me is we see a lot of business creators, they get stymied in their efforts to grow their business because technologically it seems hard. You got to build a website, and then you got to go find the audience. And one thing that I found really cool about Amazon is your audience is already there. You just got to connect with the audience. So you're halfway home with Amazon already. And we've had other guests on Business Creators Radio Show where we've talked about launching books and finding the category to become a bestseller in. And Amazon does provide the tools to help you do this research, and we may talk about that a little bit more as we get through the interview here. This is a good segue. So let's say that we have a business creator who wants to start selling products on Amazon. How do they get started?
Yeah, well, if you already have physical product, that's going to be even easier than if you have to find your own product. But, you know, I always tell people, if you're a brick and mortar business and you're listening to this and you have physical products, you should be listing them on Amazon. There's people I know right now that I've actually helped in this process by taking their physical products that they thought they were only able to sell in their brick and mortar and then list them on Amazon, and then they have a whole nother business. There's a guy right now in particular that was doing really well even in his online presence, but he wasn't selling on Amazon. Well, since selling on Amazon, he took those same products and listed them on Amazon, and now he's doing between 25 and 30K a month in just Amazon sales on top of the sales that he's doing on his own website. So, you know, for people that aren't tapping into the 244 plus million customers with active credit cards on file, to me, are crazy. So if you have a product, definitely get that thing listed up like as soon as possible, because it's not going to cost you anything unless you start selling, right? They don't charge you anything other than that you have to have a business account, which is like $40 a month, like $39.99 or something like that. And that's really it. And then you can go and start listing your products. Now, let me just say again, and I want to really highlight this for your audience. You know, like you said, if you go out and build a website, you build traffic to that website, it's a long process. It does work, but it takes time, it takes effort, it takes consistency, right? But it's totally doable. And on Google, people are usually going there to search for how to fix this or how to do this. And sometimes they're searching for products, but a lot of times it's how to do stuff. Well, on Amazon, they're there for one reason and one reason only, to buy product, right? So they're buyers. So when anybody is selling inside of the Amazon platform, they need to realize they're positioning their products to buyers, not to people that are just kind of like, you know, browsing. They're out there looking for a specific product. And I guess, so then anyone that is thinking about just getting into this game, I kind of talked, about retail arbitrage a little bit and said that wasn't my cup of tea, but it's a lot of other people's way to get started. So if you're thinking to yourself, you just want to learn the system, you want to see how it works, what it takes to launch a product on Amazon, go do some retail arbitrage, go into a Target, a Lowe's, a Walmart, whatever, look at their closeouts. And then they have these apps that you can download on your phone. You can look at the products that are currently selling. You can get an idea if it's a good product or not. And there's some different metrics that you can follow here. But for the most part, you know, you go in there, you find products that are brand names, and then you list them on Amazon. And it's a great way to get your feet wet. And it's also a great way to start making some money before you start putting your own money into the game, really, because it does cost some money to get started in this business. But if we want to transition into, because I get this question a lot, like, Scott, how do you find a product that you want to sell? Well, the first place you're going to look is Amazon. All right, because Amazon is where you're going to ultimately end up to sell these products, okay? So if you are on Amazon, remember, Amazon is targeting you as a customer coming there. They're positioning in front of you from past data. So it's kind of like you're going there as a customer. I'm putting the air quotes up as a customer, but you're really there spying as a seller, right? And when they start putting things like, you know, customers search for this, also search for this, or customers who bought this also bought this, or your keywords that drop in that you start typing in keywords and all of a sudden they start throwing other keywords at you of suggested keywords. This is data that they're giving you that is there because they feel that you are the customer and this is stuff that you would be interested in. So you as a seller should say, let me pay attention to this stuff, right? If they're telling me that people that bought this also bought this, maybe I should start looking into these other products and see what other products could be sold to this market. So kind of to rewind a little bit, if you want to get together a list of possible products really quickly, a little homework here for you, a little action step, get a notepad, put it near your nightstand for your, you know, when you get up in the morning, and then with a pen, and then write down every single thing you touch on a daily basis. We call that the daily touch list. Write every single thing down. I don't care if it's toothpaste, the razor, a toothbrush, whatever, your coffee stuff, whatever it is, write it down, and you'll get a huge list at the end of the day that you don't even realize that you're touching on a regular basis. And there's your start to start looking and seeing if these types of products or any of these products are currently selling on Amazon. Because we only want to start selling products that are proven to be selling. We don't want to go out there and say, I want to invent a product. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is trying to find products that are currently selling, getting my own little twist, my own little tweak, and then from there, selling something similar, doing some better marketing. And then from there, I can build other products against that one product and create a nice little product line. So did you want to stop there? We can touch on any questions or anything?
Let me interject a question here real quick before we continue. So thank you for that. This is great. And again, I'll tell our listeners, I know this is fast-paced. I know Scott's kind of giving you a fire hose of information here, which is why you want to be subscribed to iTunes. We're talking about physical products here, so I just want to make sure we're clear on inventory. Do you have to maintain an inventory with Amazon? Like, I'm gonna make something up. Let's say that we're selling cat toys, because I have cats, as our listeners know, and my cats my living room is a battleground of cat toys, so I buy cat toys all the time. So if I'm selling this special kind of cat toy, do I have to keep any on file with Amazon so that when they get sold on Amazon, they can be fulfilled? Or is there sort of like a fulfill on demand, or how does that all work?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. Okay, you can start selling product on Amazon without having product in Amazon. You can do that, what they call that fulfilled by merchant, okay? Now, the downside of that is that you will not be able to take advantage of the fulfilled by Amazon, where they pick and pack your product. If you ship some, if you buy something, or if someone buys something from you and you fulfill it by merchant, let's say it's a cat toy, you're going to have to package that cat toy up, and then you're going to have to send it to the post office and have them ship it. That sounds fine, right? People are like, oh, well, I would do that. 5 units a day, that's fine. What if you're selling 25 or 30 or 50 units a day?
Yeah.
You don't want to go to the post office and do that every single day, and you shouldn't have to. And you're not going to be able to take advantage of the other benefits that you are as being an Amazon Prime member. Prime members usually get free shipping, 2-day shipping. They get other benefits. And by being fulfilled by Amazon, you can take advantage of that. And some people search for only stuff that is fulfilled by Amazon or that is Prime available. Okay.
Right.
So because of that, you want to fulfill by Amazon when you can, as soon as you can. To do that, you can send in as little as 5 units if you want. You can send in 20 units. You can send in as many as you want. If you run out of inventory, you're just going to run out of stock. And then the minute you get stock in again, you're going to send it back in again. Now, one little tip here. Once you do get the ball rolling and you get sales coming in steady, you do not want to run out of stock. You want to do your best to keep the inventory in stock, because what's going to happen is once you start ranking inside of Amazon for your keywords for that cat toy, and then all of a sudden you drop off the face of the earth for 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, however long it takes to get that inventory back, now all of a sudden you've lost a ton of momentum. So you want to try to keep a steady flow of inventory in there. And the way to do that is really once you start, you want to start with, you know, a couple hundred units, and then you can start gauging the inventory as far as how often you're selling. If you're selling 10 a day, then you know that you need 300 in stock for a month. So then you just start really kind of forecasting and then seeing how many units that you want to have in stock. Now, what happens if you start really selling like 50 units a day and you're going to run out of stock? Well, one strategy to that is you're going to raise your price. And you can raise your price slowly, maybe a dollar or two, and that generally will work. But sometimes people have found that they sell more when they increase their price, because then their perceived value is even higher. So what I always try to do is, number one, try to slow down the inventory by raising the price a little bit at a time. And then I'll always turn off my Amazon pay-per-click to sponsored ads, which we can talk about that once we get to that stage. But from there, if you run out of stock, you run out of stock. You know, it's just it happens. But you just want to do your best to not run out of stock. But, yes, to answer your question, you want to fulfill by Amazon when you can, as soon as possible.
Yeah, That's a great question, and actually one of our listeners brought that up when they heard you were going to be on the Business Creators Radio Show, and I wanted to make sure we covered that because we're talking about physical fulfillment, and we'll ask another question about that, but I want to save that for let's do it right now. Let's say that you can do Fulfilled by Amazon, where you make sure you send in some copies of your product to Amazon so they fulfill it. You can also be Fulfilled by Merchants so that you fulfill it yourself if you want to make a lot of trips to the post office and be basically on call every single day to get it out in timely fashion. But let's say that they have a third-party manufacturing. Like, let's say they have a factory in Florida, or in some cases, some people are shipping overseas to places like China or Vietnam, which are growing areas for these types of physical product production. Does Amazon allow the thing where you can have the order shipped directly to the factory, and then the factory puts it in a box and sends it out?
No. The way that it would work there, that's like drop shipping. What you could do is you could have your factory, your manufacturer, ship directly to Amazon. That would be my next step versus saying, like, okay, I got an order from an Amazon customer fulfilled by merchant, and then I'm going to have my drop shipper do it. You could do it, but it's going to be more on a manual basis. So let's just say, for example, you fulfilled by merchant, and you were going to fulfill them yourself, but really you were going to have someone else do it. You'd have to send in your invoices to that drop shipper, like, every day. Right. And then they're going to handle it. So it's almost like you're handing a pack of 10 invoices to your supplier, and you're saying, hey, ship these tomorrow. Right. That's how that would work. Now, if you have a Shopify store on your own website, you can integrate where if you get a sale on your Shopify store, you can integrate that to have fulfilled by Amazon. You can have your FBA stuff shipped directly from your e-commerce. And Amazon will do that even though you didn't make the sale through Amazon. I know that's a little bit of a different topic, but I thought I'd just throw that in there because that is another strategy. But I would say your first step would be to have the product shipped from the factory to Amazon to cut out that one step. Me, personally, when I first start on any product, I always have the product shipped to me so I can inspect it, make sure it was exactly what we agreed upon, and then I ship it into Amazon myself, pay a little additional for that fee, which, by the way, Amazon's shipping from UPS, if you use their UPS, it's like dirt cheap. It's like pennies compared to what we pay.
Right.
So for me, like, I'll just give you an example. Like on one of my units, it might weigh a pound. It might only cost me 20, 25 cents to ship it to Amazon. So it's really, really inexpensive.
Right. I understand perfectly. Now, another thing that comes up is, you know, I'm a member of Amazon Prime myself. And what you shared with me this morning actually demystified something for me. I recently did a major presentation in front of an audience of over 50 entrepreneurs. And part of my presentation was I go through a list of authors and I explain how they became famous or became more famous by publishing a book. Now, what I decided to do for this very special presentation was to buy copies of all the fame-making books and give them out as gifts to the audience. So I placed an order on Amazon. I had my list right in front of me. And by the way, as I was placing the orders for one book and then the second book and then the third book, it's like a list of 12 books. I'd never actually placed this order before. It's the first time I ever gave out these gifts to the audience because it's about $100. I don't do this for just anybody. It's recommending, like, let's say, you know, when I placed the order for book number two, I looked down to the, you know, customers who purchased this also purchased, and it was, and I was saying, holy heck, it's recommending like book number five or book number seven. So Amazon is that intelligent that it was guessing without having any data from me, because I'd never placed this type of order before, that, well, if somebody's looking at this book, they might be interested in this one as well. And it wasn't just like, because I ordered Donald Trump's Art of the Deal, and I also was going to order Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So that's an obvious one. That's an obvious correlation.
Yep.
Those two gentlemen have actually done books together. But in one case, we were jumping from, say, Robert Kiyosaki. I found it amazing that it recommended How to Get the Women You Desire into Bed by Ross Jeffries, which is a completely different genre, which was also on my list. Holy cow.
But what was happening here was they were taking the data, Amazon was, from other people that have bought these books in the past, not necessarily if the authors have worked together or even planned this. They were doing it as, like, the avatar of the person buying this book is also interested in these because we have data from past people that have purchased book one that wanted to purchase or that added these other ones to their cart. So that's where they're getting their intelligence. So it's pretty slick, and it's also a great way for you as a seller to say, oh, these are related items. So if you're selling this one cat toy and maybe that cat toy needs a carrying case, well, maybe those two are being purchased together. You wouldn't know that necessarily unless you've seen that. And now that might be another product in your bag, or you may create a bundle out of that because now there's two or three products that they're suggesting that you add to your cart because other people have done the same. So now that's a bundle that you could offer at a premium.
Right. Now, when it was creating that algorithm, was it perhaps also going back to my personal things? Because I personally have done a lot of research on Amazon for books in the pickup seduction industry.
Yeah, not necessarily. It will show you stuff on your past history. But
right.
Even if you logged out and it wasn't logged in as you, it's going to give you that stuff by other people's searches.
Uh-huh. Wow, that was
insane.
From Kiyosaki to Ross Jeffries is one hell of a jump.
Yep.
And then it just shows that Amazon has some wicked intelligence. Holy heck.
They do.
Now, this one.
They do. It's pretty scary.
Now, and one follow-up question. Now, I'm a member of Amazon Prime. You know, I love getting my free shipping and my shipping in 2 days and things like that. So let's say that I'm a seller on Amazon. And I sent my 5 copies of my cat toy to be fulfilled by Amazon, and some Amazon Prime member comes and orders 9 copies of that cat toy. Already, I'm in Dutch because there's not enough on file, and you know it may take either me or my factory days to get Amazon
right.
more product to fulfill just that one order, because you have people out there who have 9 cats and want to buy one toy for each cat. So what happens in that case? Do I, as the seller, get penalized? Does Amazon look at that negatively? What happens?
No, here's what happens. That wouldn't happen. Let's just put it that way, because they're only going to sell you what you have in stock. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have only 6 in stock and you want to put 9, it'll say, sorry, there's only 6 of this item in stock.
Okay, just want to make sure because I was thinking about getting business.
No.
Right.
They'll only show you what you have in stock.
Okay, so what I want to do here is I want to disambiguate a little bit because I know that we have some listeners who are already thinking, we're barely a half hour into this, and they're already thinking, hey, I want to get on Amazon today and start selling stuff. But let's make sure that we're appealing to the right folks here. Who is this model for?
This model is for anyone that wants to either supplement their current income, like I did, or someone that wants to go all in and build a business slowly, but then can replace an income, you know, when you get to a certain stage. I also think that anyone that is looking to, you know, dabble in the online space, I think it's a great way to go because, again, we're not guessing. We're going in and we're figuring out what other people are already purchasing. The other really, really cool thing that I'd like to bring up is, and this is my long-term strategy here for this business model, is not just to stay on Amazon. Right, I want to get on Amazon, sell product on Amazon as a channel because it's the quickest way, and I say that lightly because I don't want people to think that it's an overnight, you know, success thing. But it's another way for you to get started without having to have a website, without having to have an email list, without having to have all that stuff. And then once you get traction with your product, then you can go outside and start building your website, start building your email list, running outside traffic, all of that stuff. So to me, this business model is great for anyone that wants to test and validate a product. And then maybe you want to launch it on their own, you know, on their own website, or someone that just wants to supplement their income, or someone that just wants to, you know, go into this thing and start building a business, and then from there graduating to, you know, bigger things as far as like owning their own business where they can leave their own job if it gets to that point.
Yeah, so what I really love about this model especially is because we have folks who listen to the Business Creators Radio Show who may be in transition between a job and having their own business, being an entrepreneur. And we also have some folks who have no intention of leaving their job, but also have an entrepreneurial venture because that is their plan for the future. That's how they're going to pay for their children's college educations. That's how they're going to save for retirement, and that's how they're going to maintain their financial security should anything happen to that job. It's also how they pay for the condo in Florida, the swimming pool, and they'll ask them to do charitable good things. So if you are in that category, you particularly need to be tuned into what Scott is sharing with us today. So let's rewind and let's talk about you a little bit. You've told me a little bit about how you got into selling physical products on Amazon. And by the way, you might not be able to tell us everything, but just what are some of the things that you're selling?
Well, yeah, you're right. I can't say that because a lot of people in this space, once you announce what you're selling, everyone's going to go run out and start to sell that. So, yeah, we don't want to do that. But what I will tell you is this. I always use the garlic press as an example, and some people kid me and say, oh, Scott, so you're selling a garlic press. I'm not selling a garlic press, but that's always my example. But just to let people know, if you do start selling, and something we haven't really talked about is, like, how do you sell your own product to make it so it's not a branded item is called private labeling. Once you private label your product, then it becomes your product, like you're the manufacturer. So you're not competing with other big-name brands. So, for example, if I was to sell a garlic press, I would sell it under my own name, and it would be my own brand. And then from there, if people knew what I was selling, then, of course, they're going to start selling the same exact thing. That's happened with numerous products that have been shared out there as just examples. So anyone listening, I would not try to sell a garlic press because now that I've mentioned it here on this show and I've mentioned it on mine, people will run out and you'll have tons and tons of competition, and then you'll get frustrated of why it's not working. The reason is because you have to dig deep, find products that are not necessarily sexy, meaning they don't have to be anything people think like an iPhone case. Don't do that, right? That's just so obvious, right? You want to find things that not everyone is looking at as like, oh, this is a huge opportunity. I'm going to start selling the next best thing. You want to find those things that are kind of like, you know, under the radar. But just to answer your question, that's something that we don't disclose. There's really no Amazon sellers that are doing private labeling that will disclose their products.
That's a good point. I just want to make sure we got that out there because I know a few other people as well who also sell physical products on Amazon, and they will not tell me what they sell. I could post on Facebook, wow, look at this awesome garlic presser I just bought, and it could be theirs that they sold to me, and they wouldn't tell me.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So that's the other cool thing about this. And again, I wanted to bring this up for the folks who are doing the full-time job and looking to create the entrepreneurial venture. This is something your boss won't find out about.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
For those who are concerned about this, because there still are, because while more corporations and companies are evolving to understand that their employees will create multiple streams of income for themselves, and the best way to retain that employee is to be supportive while saying, hey, don't bring that to work, but what you do on your own time is what you do on your own time. There are still employers who will view that as treason and will fire you instantly. So if you work for one of those unfortunate people, keep tuning in to the Business Creators Radio Show, and we'll get you entrepreneurial quick as anything. If you are working for a great company that's going to respect you, wanting to build a strong future for you and your family, this is the way to do it. So listen to what Scott's telling you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I mean, I would just tell people, though, you know, you want to find, like, there's different categories. You want to find a category that has, buyers in there that are always going to be buyers. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to go in and necessarily ride a trend that much because you want to have long-term success, right? So I would just say anyone that's going out there and dabbling in this thing, you know, go after, you know, categories that are popular, but then find products that are kind of like boring and, you know, like not sexy. That would be my advice to anyone kind of getting started. So this way here, you can, you know, have your best chance of success. And I, kind of going back to you saying like who's this for and kind of what should they expect? And, I teach something called the 10x10x1 strategy. And that's basically how to make your first $100 a day, right? $100 a day, for 30 days is $3,000 a month for a lot of people. You know, that's a darn good chunk of change, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people tell me they want to pay off their student loans, or they want to put their kids through, you know, private school, or they want to whatever. They want to go on vacation or whatever they want to do, right? And I like to tell people, like, don't think that you got to go out there and sell 100 units a day of something. If you go out there and you find a product that can sell 10 units a day at $10 profit, and that's just one product, that's $100 a day, every single day. And for a lot of people, that's actually a low day. So just to let people know that you need to start small, and you think about how you then can scale from there. You've learned the process by going through the, you know, all of the different things that it takes to get up and running, but then you can then rinse and repeat and then scale. So just to kind of give people a little bit of my mindset when it comes to going out there and trying to find products, I'm not looking for products necessarily that can do 100 units a day. I'm happy finding them that can do 10 a day, and then from there finding more of those products.
Yeah, you know what else is really cool about this as well, and you know, thank you for bringing it up, because I see people inside Facebook discussion groups and sometimes even on sales letters for how to sell on Amazon type products, and they share their screenshots of their results not typical. And even then, you see that they'll have their $78 day, they'll have their $213 day, but the secret is they diversify and they sell multiple products. So, you know, they start with one product, and, you know, and Scott, correct me anytime I'm wrong here, correct me anytime, but my understanding is they'll start with one product, they'll get really good at it, so it becomes a nice stream of income that maybe adds $2,000, $3,000 a month to their revenue stream, which is great, and then they'll take what they learned there, and they'll move to a second product, then they'll do that one really good, or whatever, and then they'll move to the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, so they begin creating all these little streams, so $2,000 here, $1,500 there, $3,000 there.
Yep.
Before you know it, you know, $3,000 here, $3,000 there. Before you know it, we're talking real money.
Yeah, yeah, and I think I should say this as well too. You know, I don't look to go out there and hit a home run. I go out there and I try to bunt for a single.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like if you can go out there and hit singles all day long, then great. Now, one other thing we should say here: you're going to get up to that batter's box and you're going to swing and you're going to miss sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So you may launch a product that doesn't work, right? But that doesn't mean that the system doesn't work. It just means that you didn't do your research well, all right? So there's different things that come into it. I've launched products that have not done that well, but I've launched some that have done really well. And I'm constantly evolving in this, right? I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly trying to diversify different products. So this way here, I'm not dependent on just one product. I had a guy that listens to the podcast, and he's went through everything that I've put out there as far as teaching goes, and he launched three products. His first two failed. His third one hit it. To show you, he tried twice, and then the third time was the one that took off for him, and now he's learned a ton through those two that didn't work, and he admits it, right? He admits what he did wrong and those things that he went out there, and maybe he jumped the gun too early. Or maybe he didn't do his research as much as he should have, or he didn't see if there's enough depth in the market, right? So there's these different things that could happen, and just to understand that there's no sure thing that you're going to win at this, but there's a really good chance that if you keep at it, then you will win.
Yeah, and I want to point that out, because when we teach about product and service launches to our business creators, we tell them that most launches don't do $1 million. In fact, most launches don't do $10,000. That's just the reality of
right.
it. But the reason you keep launching is because just through repetition and through getting your hands on it, you will get better. You will get better and better and better and better. You'll get bigger and bigger and bigger paydays.
You learn a lot.
In the info product and the marketing world, it then allows you to be seen as a celebrity because you're out there launching stuff like crazy. People don't see your spreadsheets. They just see you launching like a wild person, and they say, wow, this is somebody who's getting the job done. And that's how you become a celebrity in your niche, and that's how you gain your following. With Amazon, I think it's a little bit different, and thank you for bringing this up, because, I mean, do you do like a product launch formula-like type thing on Amazon, or is it more like you put your product out there and it just starts selling? Like, how does that work?
No, we definitely have a launch process for sure. Yeah, there's a launch. It's not a launch. It's not a Jeff Walker product launch formula.
Right.
But there is steps that are done, and it's pretty – it's pretty standard. I've got a few tweaks that I do, but I mean, just to kind of give you like the 30-second like launch, like, you know, once you pick your product and you've sourced your product, you have to get it into Amazon. So once you get it into Amazon and it's live, well, now we want to allow Amazon to see that we're on the maps. We need to start getting some sales. So there's two things that you want to do on Amazon, because Amazon is driven by sales. Once you start to get sales, you start to rank. And if you start to rank, you start to get eyeballs, and then you start to get more sales. But the one thing that'll happen is if you get seen, like let's say you rank really well out of the gate, but you have zero reviews, well, your competition has 100 reviews, you're going to probably sell less than the guy that's got 100 reviews right now. So we got to work on getting reviews. And I'm not talking about going out there and buying reviews. I'm saying, like, go out, give away 25, 50 units of your product to people that want to test products and ask them for their honest feedback. And you want them to put that in there, that they're receiving this at a discount, because you have to by terms of service. And then once you get these reviews coming in, then you get the social proof that people are actually buying your product and they're saying what they – now you're going to see your conversion rate go up, and your conversion rate, your sales, that is going to go up. And when that goes up, your rank is going to go up. So that's kind of the process. We launch as far as we launch the product, we get it live, we optimize everything, the title, the pictures, the bullet points, the description, the back-end keywords. There's a whole bunch of things there. But then once we get that stuff all done, if we don't get seen – okay, by eyeballs, we're not going to get sales. So we got to start and really kind of get the ball moving. And that is by doing a small little giveaway, maybe a dollar offer or $2 offer that you can give people, you know, 95% off or something. And then from there, you start to slowly get some reviews. And then I instantly turn on sponsored ads. So the sponsored ads is the ad platform inside of Amazon, which anyone that ever comes to me and says, Scott, I want to start driving outside traffic to my Amazon listing, I try to reach over to them and just say, time out. You're not going there yet. You might not ever go there, because the traffic inside of Amazon is so much more potent, because they're there to do one thing, buy. You're not disturbing them. When you're on Facebook or any other ad platform, you're disturbing them to get them to go over to Amazon. That can actually hurt your conversions on Amazon. So just to kind of go back to the launch strategy, you launch the product, you start to get some reviews coming in, you turn on your Amazon pay-per-click to get some sales going. And then from there, you start to get ranked. Once you start to get ranked, you start to get natural sales, organic sales, that is, and then the reviews start coming in naturally, and then that's how the process goes.
This is actually a 7-step plan, isn't it?
To me, it's a 5-step plan, because it's really you pick the product that you research,
right.
Then you source the product, then you do a pre-launch. The pre-launch is really creating your listing on Amazon before you even have your product, because you need a listing to be able to send your inventory into. So
right.
That's the third part. And part of that pre-launch is also figuring out who you're going to give these products away to when you launch is the launch. That's actually what I just kind of described there. And then the fifth phase is where you're going to start dialing in your pay-per-click and start promoting the product. So this way you can start getting those steady sales.
Right. So how to sell physical products on Amazon in 5 steps. The reason I brought up the 7 steps is because I know that on theamazingseller.com, one of the things you have for our listeners is the 7-step launch plan, which I've had a chance to scan myself. And I think it's really good.
Yeah. That just kind of goes through, like, you got to optimize your listing and kind of like all of the different steps in the launch process. But really the 5 steps is kind of like how to get a product to market. The launch strategy is like you just said, we're kind of going through those, through those different steps inside of that launch phase.
Right. Okay, so two questions about reviews, because this is very hot, and I'm looking
sure.
And I'm thinking about some things that have come up in discussion groups that I participate in and I see online. So the first question is how far can you go ethically to get reviews? Because I know that there are some boundaries, and if you cross these boundaries, you could have your, things could happen to your product, or they could be deleted or something like that, and it's get to the point where it's slimy. So ethically, Let me put this bluntly. How far can we go to bribe people for great reviews?
Well, right in the terms of service, it says in there currently right now that you can give away units, product for honest reviews. Like it literally says it in there. So, it's saying like you can't abuse it by saying like I'm going to give away 100 units a day forever. That's not what they're saying. What they're saying is that you can do it, and that's ethically. And as long as they go ahead and they put in there that they receive the product, in exchange for an unbiased review, that has to be in there. As long as that's in there, then you're above board. So there's nothing wrong with that. Now, where they got kind of like the discussion out there and, the sky is falling threads that were on the all of the different Facebook groups was when Fiverr got in trouble by people that what they were doing is they were creating fake accounts in Amazon, and then you were paying them money to go leave fake reviews. That's where this whole thing got like blown out of the water, right? Now, Amazon definitely is paying more attention to reviews now because they know that that stuff is happening, but that doesn't mean that they're saying like right now you can't do it. And as long as you stir above board, you're going to be fine. You know what I mean? But again, everyone has to kind of do what they think is best. Me personally, the only time I ever do a promo is in the very beginning of that launch. After that, I don't generally do them again. If anything, I just dial up my pay-per-click. I go find other keywords that people are searching for in Amazon, and I target those keywords. And there's a ton of different ways. We don't have ways to talk about it today or enough time to talk about it today. But there's a ton of different ways to go out there. And instead of going after just one or two keywords, you're going to go wide amongst all of these different various keywords. It's kind of like the long tail approach, as we heard before, with niche sites and all that stuff. So it's really about how to go wide with your keywords as long as they are targeted to the person that could buy your product.
Very good. That's my first question about reviews. Now, the second question is, and first of all, let me state something that I already know. If I go to a product or a book or anything, whether it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or some third-party review site, anywhere there's reviews, and all I see are five-star reviews and everybody says it's perfect, I'm suspicious. I actually want to see a couple critical reviews. I want to see a couple constructive, quote-unquote, reviews. I want to see that not everybody had a perfect experience with it, because that tells me that real people are consuming it, because there's no way in the world that something's going to be perfect for everybody or that every single customer you get is going to be a great person. It's just not going to happen, number one.
So I look for number one
to see that there's a variance that, you know, that's mostly good, that we're 4 out of 5 stars is good for me. And I see that there are some people who maybe just honestly tried it and it just wasn't for them, or maybe 1 person out of 100 had a bad experience. Because if you screwed up with 1 out of 100 customers, you still have a 99% batting average, and that's good enough for me. I also look to see how the seller handles it, where if they respond to that person constructively and they at least show publicly that they are trying to be the bigger person, trying to make it right, what have you. But what I've seen happen a few times, and I'm just going to say this very bluntly, because this is the Business Creators Radio Show, and my name is on it, and I can say whatever I want, basically. Sometimes you'll get somebody who comes on to a review site like Amazon, and they just decide to be a complete jagoff. They will post a review that is full of hate, full of negativity, and they'll say, you know, like, for instance, you don't know anything about this, nobody should listen to you, you're a fake, you're a charlatan, and I'm reporting you. Now, when you get just garbage like that, how do you deal with it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you got to deal with it as best you can. I mean, I don't let, like, one review, like, bring the whole ship down, right? You know what I mean? Like in my eyes, I would respond, as good as I could. And again, whenever you're doing something publicly, you got to remember you're the face of the business in a sense that's representing. So you got to be respectful and all that stuff. So to me, I try to do that, clean it up that way. And then from there, I just go ahead and I try to just continue to keep my head down and get better reviews. And those better reviews will pile on top of the bad one. So that's really, I don't pay too much attention. Now, if it was someone that is a competitor that has went on there and did that just to try to bring down my listing, then I would, of course, try to report it. And then from there, if nothing happened, then I would just, again, do something very similar. I'd respond to it. I wouldn't call them out necessarily. But then from there, I would just go ahead and try to just do my best to get better reviews on top of those and then kind of push it to the bottom is what I would kind of do there. I do want to say, though, you know, you bring up a good point because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I want to go there and get, you know, 100 five-star reviews. And I honestly don't want to get that because of everything that you had already said, because it makes it look more real, which I want it to be, because I want them to be real and I want them to be honest and ethical and all that stuff. But the other thing is, and I just want people to know that even though you go to like a review group that, and just to let people know what a review group is, really, and the good ones are people that have raised their hands, like you and I, that said, I would love to review product from Amazon at a discount. I would love to, right? So they're real people, and then there's actually people that have little groups and clubs that they talk about all of the stuff that they're able to do. They get ranked. Amazon gives them badges and all of these different things, right? So they really they feel proud about doing that stuff, and they enjoy it. So they're not doing it just to say, I'm doing this to help you rank. They're doing it because they're getting free product or discounted product. But I get people that are in these groups that leave me 3-star review, and I'm okay with that. You know, it's like I'm actually kind of glad because now I didn't 5 stars, like you said. It makes it more real. It makes it more authentic. And I think a lot of times then, too, when people do see that you responded to that, it also shows that you stand by your company. So that could also be helpful, you know, to your potential customers.
I've noticed kind of a tribal effect as well because I've had a couple friends of mine, like actual friends of mine who have published books on Amazon, and they've had these types of attacks. And as soon as they let their own tribe know that they have this hater, you see people like jumping in and going on Amazon
sure.
and just loading it up with positive reviews or downvoting that negative review, responding to that negative review to basically say, what the hell are you talking about, man?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so this is where loyalty comes into play as well.
It does. And I think with books, it's a little different because with a book, you do usually have a following, a tribe, you know, whatever you want to call it. So that makes it a little bit easier to do. When you have a product, unless you aren't like, you know, like a celebrity, it would be a little bit harder to do that. So again, with a physical product, if someone's buying a garlic press, I'm not sure everybody's going to rally behind you with your garlic press, right?
Right.
But the same, you know, with that same thing in mind, you know, just go out there and create a really good product and then respond to the negative ones. And if it's something, again, just to let people know, if there's something that is flawed in your product, listen to those negative reviews and try to fix it. That's another tip for people. If they're looking to how can I make a better product than my competition, look at all their 3, 2, and 1-star reviews and see what people are complaining about and fix that problem.
Right.
And then you all of a sudden have a better product.
Right. You know, there's a technique, like let's say you're looking to do advertising for your own product. And I have to give credit to this to my friend Gary George of Blazin Multimedia. He taught me this, and this is absolutely brilliant. If you're doing competitive research, if you want to sell a physical product on Amazon, find your competitors and look at their 1, 2, and 3-star reviews. The reason you want to look at
sure.
that is you want to know what the market feels is lacking so that you know what to deliver in your product.
Well, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's all really good. And I appreciate you sharing with me just a few moments and sharing with our listeners on how to deal with negativity. And, you know, my final note is, let's say you have some, like, you know, sometimes this may apply to Amazon products or sometimes it may apply to your customer service of a bricks and mortar or an online business. Is what I found is most effective, if you have somebody out there who's just spazzing and just saying, oh, you're a horrible person, you did horrible service, you ignored me, blah, 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 blah. There's a range of approaches you can take, and some of the components can include if somebody says they never return my calls and you happen to have a call log
right.
of all the times you tried to return their call, you can say something like, you know, I think we have the right number on file for you, but, you know, the number we have on file, we called and left messages on this date and this time, this date and time, and this date and time. So maybe we have the wrong number. So here's our number again. Why don't you give us a call and let's try and
sure.
work this out. And by
yeah.
taking an approach like that, the person, you basically neutralize that negativity because now in front of the entire world, you've acknowledged that you have an upset customer. At the same time, you've said, hey, I just want to serve you. So I'm telling you,
yeah.
my door is open. My phone is turned on. Give me a call. Let's work this out. And if they want to just continue to spew and just retch all over the internet, then at that point they're just a hater and you're the person who tried to do right. And your next customer
yeah.
will look at that and say, hey, you know, if I ever want to deal with Scott Volker and things don't go exactly right like they could happen, I have confidence this is the guy who's going to make it right. So I want to do business with him.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
Yeah. So just one thing I want to ask here before we share with the gift you're going to give us, which I'm really looking forward to, by the way, is if you were starting over today, just based on everything you've learned selling products on Amazon, what would you do differently?
Well, you know, it goes to Amazon, but it goes to all of the other things that I've ever done. You know, the only thing that I say, and again, it's hard because a lot of things that I've done have opened doors for other things, you know. But if we're specifically talking about Amazon, really it comes down to you want to be able to adapt and you want to be able to, you know, pivot when you need to. And Amazon is constantly evolving, you know, and, you know, I think me personally in the very beginning, things were a little bit different. So my product research was different than it is now, right? So I guess going back is, I think, because I had a few products that I, you know, didn't do as well as I wanted to. And part of that problem was the product research phase. So I think going back, I would say, Scott, just, you know, slow down a little bit and maybe focus a little bit more on that product research before you go ahead and hit play.
Right. I think that's also very important too, is just to remember. And the overriding theme, as we said earlier, is the best way you're going to really get good at selling products on Amazon is to go out there and try and do it. And if you hit a home run the first time, that's great. But don't always look for your home run. You got to go for your base hits sometime too.
Yep.
Think about
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Way.
And,
yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say. I mean, and just to let people know, like we're talking about Amazon, but. You know, I just got to go back to, you know, even myself when I was kind of, you know, scared of leaving, like, you know, my job that was supporting my family going back, you know, 15 years ago, actually longer than that now, it's probably close to 20 years ago, my first jump, you know, into being an entrepreneur, and it was scary, and I had a
right.
family to provide for and stuff, you know, but I guess, you know, just telling myself even back then that, you know, just take that chance and take it, you know, and understand that there's always going to be risks. But you have to get out there and you got to take action. And that's what I've lived by. I mean, this whole time moving up to this point is just, you know, learning through the process and understanding that, you know, failure is part of that process. And it's not failure to me. It's really a learning lesson. And then it also opens up other doors. So that's, I would just like to really instill that into people that are thinking about anything that they're looking to try, but also to say, you got to give it a full shot, right? You can't just say, I'm going to try this for a week, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to move on to the next thing. You're not giving it enough effort. So to me,
yeah.
It's always about putting in all of the effort.
Right, absolutely. So we've just got a couple minutes left, and this has been an amazing interview, so thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
As we wrap up, I just want to give you the floor for just one more minute and tell us what you have for business creators to help us when we want to pursue this line, because I know we have some people listening right now, they're probably chomping at the bit saying, hey, how can I get started today?
Yeah, well, there's actually a couple different things. First off, I've got a podcast, and it's
yep.
totally free. You know, theamazingseller.com, the blog is filled with all the podcasts. It's really what it is. So that's all there for you, kind of documents my journey. A lot of people that I've interviewed, I do Q&A calls on Fridays. So, I would check that out. The other thing is I have a 10-day free course, and you can find that at freeprivatelabelcourse.com.
Uh-huh.
And there you would register for that course, and you'll get 10 days worth of lessons, which basically walks you through the exact process that I used to launch my first product. So that's there for you. And then the last thing is I do a live workshop, and you can jump on with me live. We can go through the five phases. We'll break them all down. I'll also stay on to answer live Q&A. And that is at theamazingseller.com/workshop. And you can register for an upcoming one there. And that's my my little gift to your audience.
Awesome. Scott Volker of theamazingseller.com. This has been a fantastic experience. It's been an honor, and it's been an education on behalf of the business creators community. I thank you for coming down and spending some time with us today.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate you having me on, Adam. And I look forward to maybe catching up with you in the future.
You bet. For everybody listening, this is Adam Homey, host of the Business Creators Radio Show. Please check out our previous and our upcoming episodes at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com and on iTunes, where we help you win at the game of business and marketing. Till next time, have a great day. Take care.